Good evening and welcome. Throughout this past week, I've had the joy of watching my kids working hard as they have been practicing for our church's children's Christmas program, which will take place here next Saturday on Christmas Eve. Seeing them practicing their parts reminds me of my high school days when I was involved in my school's theater program and had the opportunity to perform in a couple of different plays. One of my most favorite performances was when I was cast to play a character by the name of Brooker in a play titled The Life and Adventures of Nicholas Nickleby. It was a very small part consisting of no more than maybe 10 lines. My director had instructed me to play the role in a villain type of manner, which was a slight challenge since it meant behaving in a way that was completely foreign to me. The performance I had delivered in that play left quite an impression in the minds of many of the people seated in the audience. Even nowadays, when I am reminiscing with some of my old high school friends, they will occasionally comment on that particular play, not so much because of the number of lines I had, but because of how well I brought that character to life. Even though I had a small part in that play, I was able to learn a valuable lesson in life, thanks in part to the reactions from others towards my performance. Because it's not the number of lines that we are given in life that matters, but rather it's how well we fulfill the roles that we are given that matters the most. I think about this quite often whenever I spend time reflecting upon the life of Saint Joseph. Because what we may oftentimes overlook is the fact that within sacred scripture, Joseph doesn't really have any speaking lines. Granted, there are many different plays about the nativity of Jesus, in which the character of Joseph may have some speaking lines. But most of those lines are oftentimes just a natural understanding of the conversations that would have occurred. For instance, it is perfectly fine to hear Joseph asking the innkeeper if there are any rooms available for him and Mary. And yet, even though Joseph does not have any speaking lines within Scripture, there is obviously something rather special about him, especially when we consider the number of children who have been named after him, or the number of parishes that refer to him as their patron saint. It's even been said that the name Saint Joseph, or some variation of it, is one of the most common names given to towns and cities throughout the world. Why is there so much love, so much admiration, and so much respect for a saint who may very well be one of the quietest saints in all of history? Maybe it has to do with the role that Joseph was called to fulfill within God's plan of salvation. The Gospel of Matthew refers to Joseph as having been a righteous man. This may be a reference to Joseph being a faithful observer of the law. Or it could also mean that he was always trying to live his life in accordance to God's will. Before going much further into this point about Joseph being considered righteous, this may be a good time to clarify what is meant by the verse, Mary was betrothed to Joseph, which is not to be confused with the idea of an engagement. The term betrothed meant that a man and woman were legally married to one another, even though they did not live together, because the husband would have most likely been working hard on preparing or even building a home for him and his wife to live in. There also wasn't any set limit of time that two people were betrothed to one another. However, until the day that the husband was ready to take his wife into his own home, the woman would remain living within her father's home. The fact that Mary was pregnant with a child that was not her husband's would have been grounds for a divorce. If the divorce was done in a public manner, then this would have resulted in Mary being accused of having committed adultery, which was punishable by a stoning. We are told that Joseph was planning on quietly divorcing Mary long before an angel appears to him within a dream. Because of this, then it would be appropriate for us to believe that Mary had most likely shared with Joseph what was about to take place within their lives. Therefore, when we think of Mary's courage in saying yes to accepting her vocation of becoming the mother of God, then we must also realize the amount of faith and trust that she had in God to help her when the time would come for Joseph to know the truth about this unborn child. Referring to Joseph as being a righteous man may have also had something to do with his desire to quietly divorce Mary, which would have spared her from being publicly humiliated, along with avoiding the possibility of her being stoned to death. On this point, there exist several different theories. One theory, as put forth by both St. Bernard of Clairvaux and St. Thomas Aquinas, states that Joseph would have known and understood that Mary's pregnancy was taking place by the power of the Holy Spirit and in accordance to God's plan for our salvation. Because of this, then Joseph, out of humility, would have viewed himself as being unworthy to be involved with such an extraordinary event, which would then have led him to consider quietly divorcing Mary. Thankfully, God sent an angel to assure Joseph that he was indeed worthy to play a role within the story of the incarnation of our Lord and Savior. It is amazing how, even within this unconscious state of sleep, Joseph was able to discern the message that he had received from the angel and to understand it as having been in accordance with God's plan for him. Because God the Father entrusted Joseph with the role of protecting the Holy Family from any and all harm that they may encounter. Maybe this is why Saint Joseph is so beloved and respected by many in this world. He was a humble and righteous man who desired for nothing more than to do the will of God, which meant fulfilling the role as a protector of the Holy Family, as well as protecting and supporting Mary in fulfilling her role and her vocation as the Mother of God. Advent is a time of preparing ourselves for the birth of our Lord, as well as preparing ourselves for the day when our Lord returns at the end of time. Unfortunately, as we enter into this final week of Advent, society makes it difficult for us to properly prepare ourselves for the incarnation. Many of us have a variety of time commitments, ranging from attending office Christmas parties to attending various Christmas plays and concerts. We also have the task of sending out Christmas cards and finishing up wrapping up various presents, along with maybe even trying to finalize Christmas dinner plans with our families. And yet, as crazy and as hectic as this week may become for each one of us, let us not fall into despair, but rather, just like Mary had done during that first Advent, let us also look to Saint Joseph to be our protector, our supporter, as we prepare ourselves to welcome into our own lives the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.